that leave the man? I mean, he's going to have to do something. She's pushing him to do something. So he turns around to her and says, all right, you take care of it.
Yes.
So at that point, she drove her, meaning Hagar and the baby, into the wilderness. Or rather, she drove Hagar, who was still pregnant.
Yes. And that's, boy, that's serious. You know, she's sending a pregnant woman out into the desert. And boy, right after break camp, or right after you leave camp, desert is desert. There's no water. There are hardly any trees here. This is real desert country. And so the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water and in the wilderness of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she says, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. And then the angel of the Lord said, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Now here is where he's giving her command, and she does go back and she submits to her mistress's authority. And I believe before that she had not submitted, but now she's going back because the voice of the angel had told her
But also submitting to her covering.
Yes, that's right. Which she should have done in the first place.
Right. But the angel also told her that, you know, this child will be named Ishmael. And then the angel said to her further, behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. And he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers.
Yes. And literally, in the Hebrew, we see that Ishmael means God will hear. And God did hear Hagar's cries. And so she went back into Abram's camp, and she had her son Ishmael. Now, I find it interesting, Darren, you are with child. I will take care of the child. He will be a prince, but he will be a wild donkey, and he will be at odds against everyone. So I believe God was saying at odds against my people, because God had already made a covenant with Abram, said, you know, you are going to be my people. You are the least, but you're going to be my people. So here Ishmael is going to be born, a wild donkey of a man.
Now, are you sure that God had already made a covenant with him?
Yes, in chapter 15, he made a covenant.
Read it to me.
All right. And he said, as for you, you shall go with your fathers to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, your people will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. So he said, your people are going to be sent out. They're going to be slaves for 400 years. Then they're going to come back to Canaan here that I have promised to you. And in verse 18 of chapter 15 of Genesis, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land. And so we know the descendants of Ishmael do not have that covenant right for that land. It is Isaac's descendants.
Well, that's going to be hard to convince Palestinians, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Can I just throw that in here? But in verse 1 of chapter 17, and I take this to be the more definitive covenant. Now, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. He had not yet established that covenant with Abraham. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, and I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you.
Well, this is a little apart from Ishmael, but I believe, Darren, when God calls on us for a plan, he has a plan for our lives. He's going to introduce that plan in the Logos. And then he's going to come back later on, and he's going to present it in the Rhema. He's going to say, now I'm giving this to you. And people need to remember, that, especially God's people, that there is a time of testing, usually a time when they're going to have to wait patiently for this plan to come about. And that's where a lot of people abort their plans. And here it was 13 years later that God comes to Abraham and he says, now I'm going to give you what I told you 13 years before. I'm going to give it into your hands.
Well, he's saying here in verse 16 of chapter 17, I will bless her, meaning Sarah. He'd already changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a man my age have a child? And basically that's what he said. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." But God said, "No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." In one portion of Scripture, Isaac is called his firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so in other words, in a sense, Ishmael didn't count in terms of this covenant bloodline here.
No, he didn't.
Now, if we go over to Galatians chapter 4, and I just want to slip over there for just a minute in the New Testament, this gives us a greater definition of what we're talking about here. And let's see here if I can find Galatians. I think it's still in my Bible here in the New Testament. Here it is. All right, Galatians chapter 4. And Paul brings this out.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and he was talking about people under the law, and he said, "Tell me, what do you want, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise."
Praise
that
God.
That is so well put. And he said, "This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves." She is Hagar. To be slaves, that's talking about the law. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother.
Oh, hallelujah. Paul is so eloquent there, Darren, and it really does show us that Ishmael's, the spirit of Ishmael, usually is planted within a disobedient couple or a couple who is not married. Because here God has a plan for the people that he puts together as couples, married couples. God had a plan devised in the very beginning that one man would be married to one woman, and that would be a covenant of marriage. And he really wanted this covenant of promise involving Isaac to be between the married couple, Abraham and Sarah, and not between any other relationship. And so here came a fleshly relationship of a concubine, for instance, or a maid that came in and had a child.
Now, I would say that at this point, an Ishmael spirit entered the family tree.
Yes.
And it has awesome repercussions. We're seeing that in the Middle East today because the Palestinians are descendants of Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They go Abraham, Ishmael, and then they're off and running with that. But here is a child of the flesh, of the bondwoman, of slavery, of being under the law. And if we take that and compare that to Isaac, Isaac was a son of promise. This was God's best plan.
Best plan, yes.
God said, "All right, you stepped outside my wishes here, and you had sex with your maid, and she was, in essence, the bondwoman, and now you brought a real plague into the household."
Mm-hmm.
I find it very interesting that the first time that Hagar was sent away, she was sent away when she was still pregnant, but she was sent away by Sarah. Now, when Isaac was born, and he was circumcised on the eighth day, according to the rendering here in Scripture, but at age 13 for Ishmael, he was mocking the little one, Isaac,
mm-hmm.
and it made Abraham really, really upset. So Abraham this time sent, you're frowning about something. What are you frowning about?
Well, Sarah said to Abraham, "Drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son." The matter came to Sarah first of all. Women are always together in the tents.
And the kids.
Yes, and the children. So it didn't come to Abraham first. Sarah went to Abraham again.
Good point.
And she spoke to him and said, "You know, this thing is impossible here. This 13 or 14-year-old is just mocking my newborn son, the son of our promise, Abraham. Now you've got to do something about it."
And that's when Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael on their way. And God did provide for them, and of course he became the father of 12 princes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always in opposition. It's just exactly like it said back there when the angel first of all came and spoke to her and said, his hand will be against everyone, and he will be the wild donkey of a man. You talk about a curse.
Mm-hmm.
This child was born under a curse, and I believe Abraham's disobedience and Sarah's disobedience opened the door for the devil to plant an Ishmael spirit. And it really is, in a sense, a spirit of Antichrist, if you really look at it. It's against the very will of God, against the